Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Pei Ches, and we're holding the fifth line from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah that we had yesterday, where it says, Chosmu Einim Barosha Daf V'chuli. The Gemara is going on the V'chuli. So we turn back to Pei Zayin Amid Beis for a moment. You'll recall we had in the Mishnah that you can only sign a document, such as a get, on the bottom of the get. When the get is finished, Hakl Shur V'kayim, then you sign the two names, Reuven ben Yaakov, Yitzchak ben Avram. That's where you got to do it. Look at the third line of the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. It says, Chosmu Einim Barosh Adaf. What happens if they signed at the top of the document, not on the bottom, but before where it says Chad B'Shava, on Sunday, the husband and wife decided to go and give a get. On top of that, two Edom signed, says the Mishnah, that's Gunish, nothing. And the Mishnah continues, Omin Atzad, if it's signed on the side of the get, not on the top, not on the bottom, on the side. Or may acher we get partial, if it's in the back of the get, by a regular get as opposed to a get makusher. All those cases, it's possible. Nothing to talk about. You got to sign on the bottom of a get, not on the top, and not on the side. So with that in mind, getting back to our Gemara, Frank Gemara, Amy, sixth line from the top of Peiches Amar Aleph. Eini, how can you say that you're not allowed to sign from the side? V'rav chosim min hatzad. When Rav would go and sign on a get, he signed from the side of the get. Not on the bottom. On the side. So you see that, obviously, that's kosher. That's what Rav did. By the way, when it says he signed, you remember we learned in yesterday's Gemara that Rav's signature was more of a design, a picture, rather than his written signature. On the third line of Pei Zayin Amud Beis, he had Rav Tzair Kavra, which means he made the picture of a fish. Okay, that really is not relevant for our purposes. The point is that instead of Rav signing or making the fish portrait on the bottom, he did a menatzah. Third line from the top. Third line from the top. But Rav Tzair Kavra.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
He made the picture of a fish. I don't know why he made a fish, but it was Zoyshteit. And Rav Chanina made Charusi, made like a teitelbaum, a palm tree, like the Satmaras. Anyway, regardless, so the Gemara says now that he did a menatzad, but we said now Mishnah menatzad is possible. Every Gemara hasim b'shegagoy klapi ksav. Rav's case of menatzad is different than the Mishnah's case, menatzad. You have a get written out nicely, and now if a person signs on the side, there are two ways that he can sign. One way would be that the gagoy means the top of his signature, the top of his letters, are adjacent to and are facing the ksav of the get. And that's what Rav did. And that's okay. Instead of signing on the underneath, he signed on the side. What Armish is talking about is that the feet of the handwriting, the feet of the signature, was towards the get. So why is that any better or why is that any worse? Why does our Mishnah say that that is possible? So that's very understandable, because what happens if perhaps above those signatures, Rav and whoever else signed with him, there may have been another get, another document. And that's why the signatures appeared on the bottom of the document. And they're really not on the side of this get, it's really on the bottom of another document, either a get or a shtar choiv, Shtar Mekach, whatever it was. And that's why, in fact, you see that the signatures are not directed with the heads of the letters towards the get, but rather the bottom of the letters are towards the get, because that, in fact, those were signatures on another document. What happened to the other document? They cut it off, and that's why it's no longer there. And therefore, these signatures are not appropriate for this get. Ah, so therefore, what we're doing now is making an ukimta in the Mishnah. Even though the Mishnah said, Menatzad is possible, only if it's Menatzad when the feet of the signatures are next to the Ksav. But if the heads of the signatures are next to the Ksav, then it's kosher, and that's what Rav did. That's what we mean, Kishagagai. Gaga means the top of the letters, like the roof, or Klapi Ksav. Breaking by the Hadik Tani. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Hikav Roisha Shalzeb, Betzad Roisha Shalzeb. What happens if you have two Gittin, and the two Gittin are being written, you know, I would say back-to-back, but it's really not back-to-back, it's head-to-head. It means you took a very long piece of paper, you wrote out one get starting from the middle of the paper, and you wrote it 12 lines down. and then you took that piece of paper and you turned it upside down, and you wrote a second get, and you left space in between the first get that you wrote and the new get that you're writing, and it's now head to head in the sense that the first get that you wrote, which was in the middle of the page, started Chag B'Shabbat on Sunday, etc., and now you've turned the paper over and you're starting again Chag B'Shabbat on Sunday, etc., and you write out a full-fledged get, and you have now Eidim Be'emtz, it says in the Mishnah. What's the din? Shneim Psulim, both of them are possible, because the chasimois are not at the bottom of the get, but they're rather at the top of the get. And we said already, at the top of the get, it's no good. But according to what Rav just said, that if the head of the letters, the top of the letters, are kineged, they're the ones adjacent to a get, since the signatures were written in between the two gittin, so let's look at where the handwriting was. In other words, turn the document so you see clearly the handwritten signatures. And now the get, which is immediately above those signatures, that will be the one to which they were appended their signatures. Even though the get is upside down, makes no difference. But since the head of the signatures is adjacent and is facing the get, you said, according to Rav, that's good. Okay, Rav's case was Menatzad. But that makes no difference. The important is, where is the head of the letters and where is the bottom of the letters? So, whichever one of the two gittin, the one on this side, the one on that side, look at where the signature's head begins. In other words, when you write the name, where does it start? And immediately above that, that's where, that will be the get to which these signatures apply. It's talking about that the signatures were not parallel with the writing of the get, but rather it was perpendicular. In other words, in between the upper get and the bottom get, there wasn't just space for two lines to sign signatures. There was space for 10 lines, and they wrote the signatures perpendicular to the two gittin. In other words, the gittin are written horizontally, like normal writing is horizontal. These signatures were written vertical to the two horizontal gittin, the one on top and one on the bottom. So that being the case, these signatures don't have their head or their bottoms to either of the two gittin, rather they have it to the open space, to the right and to the left. So that's why our Mishnah says it's possible. If that's what we're talking about, say to the Ketani, let's talk about the next case in the Mishnah. You have two gittin. Now these two gittin are normal, meaning you wrote out one full get, left out two blank spaces, and then you wrote out the next get immediately beneath it. And now you have eidim which are signed in between the two gittin. So it says Igmar very simply, Esha eidim nikr b'soy v'kasha. Then the upper get, since the eidim's signatures are immediately below that get, so then obviously those eidim can be read with the top get. The top get is kosher. The bottom get is not kosher. We're assuming that all cases of the Mishnah are the same case. And therefore, we're not talking about that the Edom signed parallel to the writing of the get. We're talking it was written perpendicular. So even though the top get was a fine, beautiful get, and now there's signatures beneath it, but the signatures weren't written in the same direction, right to left, underneath the ksav, the text of the get, but rather was written perpendicular to the get. And that being the case, so it doesn't attach itself, or these signatures don't attach themselves either to the upper get or to the bottom get. So why does the Mishnah say, Esha Edom Nikr M'Soif is kosher? So Tumar El Rav B'Diski Havachosim. All the terutzim that we gave fall away. We start fresh. When Rav Chosim Min Atzad, he didn't sign on a get. He didn't sign on a Shtar Mekach. He didn't sign on a Ksuba. Where was he signing Min Aksav? On a summons. If you summon someone to Beis Din, and the litigant, the defendant, doesn't want to come, then you have to send in a summons, which is signed by the Beis Din. Mr. John Smith, you are invited to come for the next court session on Monday morning, and you better come. Then, to show that this is authentic, the Dayanim have to sign it. Says the Gemara, Rav wasn't particular about signing on the bottom of the summons. He would sign on the top or on the side to show that this summons, in fact, is authorized by the Bezin. This is not just a hacker that's coming up with a fraudulent document. This is the real McCoy. Therefore, since this doesn't have any real legal permanence like a get or like a bill of transfer, Rav wasn't marked when he signed on the side. But if Adan a get, he would never sign on the side. He would sign on the bottom, as our Mishnah teaches us. Okay, next case of the Mishnah. Get your kosli ivris, etc. And then it says, kosav soif of the aid is kosher. Literally what this means is, you have the ksav of the cipher, the text that was written out by the cipher, and then you have the aid that signed on the bottom. Says our Mishnah, that's enough. Sounds like you don't need two chasimois. The fact that the cipher wrote out the entire get, and let's assume you recognize his writing, and then you have one aid. Okay, it's like two aid. Amr Biyami, Biyami said, no, don't learn that chat. When it says chosav soifer, it really means chosam soifer shenina. That the soifer, besides writing out the get, he also signed on the get. And he signed on it together with another aid, so there are two aidim. So now, on the surface, it's a double pashut. Who cares whether the soifer wrote, signed on it, or Yankel Smith, or Beryl Jones, as long as you have two aidim that signed on it. Do I care that the soifer signed? Says him, well, yeah, it's a big chiddush. Amr of Chizda Hamani Rabbi Yosi. That's according to Rabbi Yosi. Now, we talked about this already about 10, 20 blad ago. We had the Gemara twice. What does Rabbi Yosi hold? Mili leimimsra lishliach. Which means a Baal can appoint the shliach to hand over a get and say, here's the get. Please give it to my wife. That shlichus is totally proper. Here we're talking about what happens if a person says to a shliach, Kislu utanu. I want a get should be written out and handed over to my wife. These are just words. So now, because it's just words, the shliach, lo mimsir l'shliach, he cannot hand it over to another shliach. He has to do it himself. So therefore, if the shliach himself is able to go and write, he's got to write the get. And then he's got to sign the get. Kislu utanu. On the other hand, in fact, if he cannot go and write out the get, so the Baal will say to him, oh, you can't write? Then please tell Goldberg to go and write. But you and somebody else make sure that they sign the get and hand over the get. Okay, so that works according to Biosi. However, we have a problem. What's the problem? What happens? The original Baal told the original two shluchim, please have Goldberg write out the get, and I want two people, you guys, just two other people, to go and sign on the get. What happens? They go to Rabbi Goldberg and they say to him, Mr. Smith is divorcing his wife and they've asked us to ask you to please go and write out the get. And then Goldberg says to them, why are you coming and telling me? Why isn't the Baal himself? Well, the Baal asked for a toyiva that we should go and tell you. No good. If he wants me to go and write it out, he can't tell you to go and tell me, because that means he made you shluchim for milim, for words. He's got to call me directly. Good. So they go back to the Baal, they tell them, Rabbi Goldberg says he's happy to write out the get, but he has to hear it directly from you. So the Baal calls him on the telephone, or the Baal goes to his office and says, Rabbi Goldberg, I want you to write out the get. Good. That's what Rabbi Yossi holds. You cannot do it through shluchim. So what difference does that make for our Mishnah? Because if it wasn't Rabbi Yossi, and you would allow the soifer to go and write it just on the shluchim, hearing it from the Baal, then the soifer may very well ask them, okay, I'll write out the get, but tell me, who are the aidim? Now the Baal may have told them, you guys should go and sign it, or get Yankel and Beryl to go and sign it. But when they're asking Rabbi Goldberg to go and write out the get, they may be embarrassed to tell him that the Baal asked us to get Yankel and Beryl to sign. Rabbi Goldberg may say, what about me? I'm writing out the get anyway. I'm already sitting at the table. I'll be happy to go and sign it. And then the two shluchim say to themselves, you know what? That's right. So not to embarrass Rabbi Goldberg, we're going to go and tell him that the Baal wants you to go and write it and wants you to go and sign it. But the Baal didn't say that he should sign it. The Baal said that two other people should have signed. So without Rabbi Yossi, the choyre, the halach of the Mishnah is not correct. Because even though this cipher is a wonderful guy, And the other Eid is a wonderful guy. And two Eidim together, Pishnaim Eidim Yachum Tavar. However, the Baal asked that two other Yankel and Berel should sign, then Yankel and Berel have to go and sign. Whether you like it or not, you can stand on your head. It's got to be what the Baal requested. That was the Shlichus. So why does it say in the Mishnah Chasam Soifer Shenino that it works if the Soifer signed? Maybe the Soifer wasn't appointed and they only appointed on their own because of the potential humiliation. Oh, because it goes according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that the Soifer, as soon as he hears from Shluchim, please write out the get on behalf of Mr. Smith, the Soifer is a Talmid Chacham, and he's going to tell him, Chavra, Mili Lemimser L'Shliach, I cannot listen to you. I got to listen to the Baal himself. Have the Baal come down to my study and give me the mission and commission me directly. Oh, so the Baal will have to come down. Now the Shliach, the Soifer will say to the Baal, no, who's going to go and sign? So if the Baal says, you sign, there's nothing to worry about, because now he's signing it with the direct authority of the Baal. If the Baal says, no, Yankel and Berel will sign, then the Soifer is not going to sign. So when you have the signature of the Soifer on the Shtar itself, the contributor, you have nothing to worry about. You know for sure he did it at the command and at the request of the Baal, and not through Shluchim, who appointed the Soifer to sign because of potential embarrassment and humiliation, and that's why Sir Chizda says the bishop goes to contribute. Okay, very good.
First of all, why are we assuming such far case? Wouldn't normally the Baal tell the Soifer directly? We're trying to say that maybe he told someone, he told an agent, he told a shaliach to write to have so-and-so write the get and have so-and-so aid him. But normally, wouldn't you think he would tell the Soifer directly? We have a get here. Who's to assume a far-fetched case like that?
The Gemara is assuming that the Baal may be embarrassed to go out in public, or that the Baal has what they call in Yiddish reise fieber, which means he's about to travel to Medina Sayyam, and he only has a few hours left, and he still has to pack together his bags and get the visa from the visa office, and he has to still go to the embassy or whatever. But he wants to write out the get because his wife is nervous that maybe he won't come back and she's going to fall the yibum. So he says, okay, Yankel Berel, you have nothing to do. I give you $100, please. Get a cipher, write it, sign it, schnell. I'll be back in 2 hours. I want to give the get to my wife. Take care of it. Okay? So contribuyosi, there is no such scenario because the cipher will say, I got to hear from the Baal directly.
That has to be going to Rabbi Yossi, because why couldn't, who was the problem, to Remeir? I don't remember who's the...
Yeah, Agamar doesn't bring it, but I think that's Remeir.
Yeah, so Ksav Sofer V'Eid, it could also be, there was, according to Remeir, why would, I mean, it also would work, Ksav Sofer V'Eid.
Why would that be kosher? Apishnaim Eidim Yakum Dabri, you have to have two Eidim, you only have one Eid. Parshat Pshat Nemishtah, Ksav Sofer wrote, one Eid signed, you don't have two Eidim, you only have a Ksav and you have an Eid. So Rabbi Yemi said, no. Kosev doesn't mean Kosev, it means Chosam. You have two signatures, one of the Soifer and one of the Eid. Yeah, but why is that kosher? Maybe the Soifer wasn't authorized to go and sign, and therefore its unauthorized signature invited to the get is no good. So you might know it's impossible to be unauthorized, because we're going to Rabbi Yossi, that the only way that the Soifer will even take the quill in hand and start writing out the get is only if he hears directly from the Baal. Oh, so if he's working directly with the Baal will either tell him sign, or he'll tell him not to sign. So if I see that the Soifer signed, it must be that the Baal told him sign, so it's a perfectly authorized signature. If it wasn't Rabbi Yossi, it could be somebody else. Let's say it was Remeir, for instance, that doesn't require, that holds Mili Mimser L'Shliach, you could appoint a Soifer through a Shliach. So maybe that same Shliach was told by the Baal, have Reuven and Shimon sign, but the Shliach was embarrassed to go and say to the Soifer, you're not signing, Reuven and Shimon are signing. He'll say, you're one of these signers, and I'll bring Reuven to sign.
Right? So that would be invalid even according to the mayor, because he's not going according to the Tanai of the Baal.
Exactly. He's not following the orders of the Baal. And that's why Rabbi Yirmi says we're talking about Chosam, that they're two Chasimas, and don't be nervous about the fact that maybe this is an unauthorized signature. Goes to contribute, you see, that says...
It has to have been authorized. Okay, sure.
No problem.
Thank you.
No problem. And the Gemara now tells us a real-life story that illustrates what we're talking about. This was not a get, it was a ksuba. Same idea. The Asim Kamed Revo comes in front of Revo. T'av yadi le'le tuifsa ul'chassimis yoda dechad sahata. the Baal is giving a get to his wife, and the wife wants to collect on her ksuba. She brings the ksuba to Bezin, and the Baal says, this ksuba is a forgery, it's not true. Now, normally all ksubas are basically the same, but this may have had in it all different toises ksuba, where it says that the husband, in addition to the 200, he has to also give $1 million. Therefore, the husband doesn't want to give $1 million, and therefore he's challenging the validity and the authenticity of this shtar. So, they're looking for Edom to be made that the two chasimos are kosher, and then we will assume that this is a kosher shtar. And guess what? We were able to find Edom for one of the signatures. We were not able to find Edom for the other signature. But we did find Edom for the kasivas hashtar. In other words, everybody knows Rabbi Goldberg's handwriting, because Rabbi Goldberg writes all of the shtaris in town. So they were able to tell, hey, this is Goldberg that wrote the ksuba. We can tell, we've seen many of his documents. And we see one eid signed on it. We have two eidim on that. So let's be mitzarif the two together, like it says in the Mishnah. Kosev Sofer, the eid, kosher. So let's say that the ksuba is kosher based on verifying and authenticating the ksav of the cipher and the signature on the shtar. So b'lach shura. Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, oh no, Rabbi, see, you forgot. Don't be goyder, so don't understand the Mishnah. Kosev Sofer v'eid. It's chosam sofer sheninu. And therefore you have to have eidim on both signatures, not eidim on the handwriting of the sofer that wrote the shtar. Good. Next shikl. Said in the Mishnah, kosev chani chosev v'chani choso kosher. Rashi said in the Mishnah that chani chosoi means shem levai shol mishpacha kula. What we would call today a family name or surname. And therefore, apparently at the times of the Mishnah, there were already certain mishpachas that had that type of family name, even though it wasn't common among the masses, but certain families had it. So this person, Reuven, his father and grandfather and great-grandfather, they were Schneiders. Schneiders are tailors. And therefore, he was known as Reuven Schneider. So instead of writing the get, Reuven ben Yaakov 8, he wrote himself Reuven Schneider 8. Says Amisha, that's fine. If that's how the Mishpach is known, Reuven Schneider and Yankel Schneider and Baruch Schneider, that's fine. If that's how they have their name, it's Kush. The Zokti Gemara Tan Rabbanan, Chanichas Ovois Begitten Ad Yud Doirois. Chanichas Ovois Begitten. Now, on the surface, it would seem like our Mishnah is, this Bryce is addressing the case of our Mishnah, and it's saying that you can go and use, just to give it the example of Schneider, until 10 generations, but not more than that. In other words, if a person's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a Schneider, until 10 generations, everybody from him and on, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, each one of them can go and say, Avram Schneider, Yitzchak Schneider, Yaakov Schneider, up to 10 generations. Reb Shimon Aluza Oimer Gimel Doris, until 3 generations. Not more than that is kosher. Kind of a Eilech possible. More than that is possible. On the surface, the Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand. I mean, if that's the family name and that's how everybody knows them, what difference does it make?
To keep on going on Sof Kol HaDoros.
Exactly. You know, like today when people have names, most family names were adopted in the 1700s, 1800s, and now those names just continue on for many generations after that. Why should it stop? So in fact, there are different pshatim in the Gemara as a result. Toisis learns that our Braisa is not referring to the Mishnah at all. Rather, our Mishnah is talking about that the individual had a particular chanich, meaning he had his own nickname. I don't know if you have a regular Gemara in front of you, but the Toisis on Lamed, you have the article, which only starts Sichweis and the Memzer or whatever. But there's a Toisis on Lamed Dalid Amid Beis at the very top of the Amid, where Toisis says that the word Chanichosa is referring to the nickname of the person himself. And that's on the same Gemara that's talking about that when you write the names in a get of the husband and wife, you write all the Shum Shiesh Lehem. So if her name was Ichweis, let's take the man's name. His name was Baruch, but he was known in business as Robert, and he was known popularly throughout the world. Everybody called him Bobby. So you would go and write in the shtar, his name happens to be Baruch, the Miskaria Robert, and the Mechuna Bobby, etc. And so therefore Tosis Daf Lamed Dalet said that's the Chani Chosai. And perhaps that's how Tosis learns the end of the Mishnah, that when you write the person's name, you don't even have to write that his name is Baruch Ben Yaakov. Just write Baruch, who's known as Bobby and known as Robert. That's enough. That's not like Rashi. Rashi learns Shem Mishpacha. Tosis seems to learn that we're talking about his own personal nickname. The Chani Chosa, her Hebrew name was Bracha, but everybody knew her as Betty or Betsy or whatever, Barbara. So that's what we mean.
AKA.
AKA, good. So if you look at the second Tosis before the end, the Kacha Nikia Das Shibushalayim Koisin, this Tosis really belongs to the Mishnah. Shloye Koisin al Ish Ploini Ben Ploini. Poshup Shat in the Mishnah, as we have it, the Kacha Yu and the Kia Das Yishlayim Oisin, that they left out the word aid. However, Ben Chananel, Ben Rebenetam, Garsi Chanichos Vechanichos, so kosher. And on that, the Kacha Yu and Kia Das Yishlayim Koisin. Pirish. Shloye Koisin el Chanichosim, they only wrote their nicknames. The Chanichos Ovis, the Gemara that we're talking about now, right? We start off Taner Rabban Chanichos Ovis, says Toises over here. We're not talking about personal nicknames, that this person's name was Baruch and they called him Bobby. And we're not talking about that. This brayza talking about Chanicha Sha Mishpacha Nikris Al Shema. And the Mishpacha has this name. This type of adopted name only works 10 generations or 3 generations. But that really still doesn't answer the question. I mean, once it's an established name, Schneider in the family for 10 generations, should go for 25 generations. Why should it stop at 10 generations? So in fact, there's a Tosis Rid. I assume you have the Tosis Rid on the side. And says a totally different shot. If you look at the Tosis Rid, 3 lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line, well, in the middle of the line you have Elamrin and Derech B'nei Odom L'Hisyachis. Do you have that? That's the third very wide line on the bottom. It's before you get to the bold font of Tanur Rabbanan. About 10 words before it says, Elamrin and Derech B'nei Odom L'Hisyachis Al Shem Gedoyim Mishpachtam Avu B'Sheino Oviv M'Hisyachis Al Shemoy. People like to think about their ancient ancestor who was so choshev that they keep on calling him their name after that ancestor. So he brings up the Arabis, the Tanur Rabbanan Chanichas Ovis Begitten, Ad Asar Dardis, Rav Shimon Loza Oymer Shloisha Dardis, Kosher Mekan Beil Apostle, Pirish, Tanakam Zom Avu Bisha Oisei HaGor Shem Sachis Olav Urochik Mimen Asar Dardis, Kosher. And Rav Shimon Loza says Shloisha Dardis. Now what is the case that we're talking about? We're talking about, I skipped the Iker. You see the first wide line here in the wide lines? Kosev Chanichosev Chanichosev Kosher. Pirish Kigoyin Shekosav Ano Reuven Bar Ploini Patris Yisichi Rochel Bas Ploinis Voise Ploini Eilu Le'ovale Yavio Ele Echad Godel Mi Mishpachtoi Shei Mesiachsum Olav Kigoyin Avrom Ben Ezra Moishe Ben Ezra Shloi Hoya Viem Shem Aviem Ezra El Kacho Yim Mesiachsum Kulen Al Shem Ezra Kamze Koisim En Ploini Voise Ploini Ovev El Eskenes Kamze Kena. In other words, although he doesn't say so clearly, presumably referring to Ezra from Ezra and Nehemiah, and we're saying that Ezra had a fourth generation Enikel, and he was so proud of Ezra, he just said, my name is Moshe ben Ezra. You're not Moshe ben Ezra, you're Moshe ben Reuven ben Yaakov ben Shimon ben Ezra. Yeah, but everybody knew that's the Ezra family. Like today you'd have someone writing, everybody heard of the Noyim Elimelech, the Rebbe of Meilech. So somebody today, 8 generations later, he says, David Elimelech, or David ben Rebbe Elimelech. Everybody knows your father's name was Elimelech, but he was so proud of that name. The Art Scroll brings another example, like from Mordechai. I don't know if he's quoting it from another Sefer or just his own. It says in the Megillah, Ish Yehudi Hoy B'Shut Rambiro Shmoy Mordechai Ben Yoir Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini. What happens if it says in the Shtar Mordechai Ben Kish? Mordechai, you were not the son of Kish. You were the son of Yoir, the grandson of Shimi, the great-grandson of Kish. That's okay. Until 3 generations, people will associate. He was so proud of his great-grandfather, Rabbi Kish. He called himself Mordechai ben Kish. So that's the Braisa. Getting back to the Braisa. According to Tanakama, you can go back 10 generations. David ben Elimelech, the famous name Elimelech. Even though my father's name is not Elimelech, but I'm so proud. Until 10 generations. Shem Loza says no, only Gimel Darius, only three generations kashya. They come to Eilech Pasul. So Ktimor Keman Azahadi Umr Rab Chanina. Rab Chanina said, Kasa Chanichas Ovis begin Ad Gimel Darius, three generations. Keman Kirib Shimon Men Loza. Oh, that's Shimon Loza that we just said, three generations, not ten generations. Umr Funa Maikra, bring a raya from a posuk, some sort of remez, three generations. It says in Pasuk Parshas Veschanan, we learn the santishav of kisoyde bonim uvenei bonim v'noishantem. So what's the raya from that? So there's a short Rashi that explains what's the raya. If you go down to raya bonim, it's about 10 lines before the wide lines. Kisoyde bonim, bonim is already dor beis, right? Kisoylin. Give birth to Banim children, that's already the second generation. Ubnei Banim is Dor Shlishi, that's the third generation. To Eneklach. Mikam ve'elech, Karivle v'noishantim, and then the Pasuk says v'noishantim, from a Lashon of Yoshan, that it's already old, already history. Kisoylet, when you have children, Banim, second, Bnei Banim, third generation, until three generations, people remember, oh, his Zayda is El Tezayda, but if you're going back already four or five generations, v'noishantim, that's already old history. Nobody remembers that far back about the great-great-grandfather. They remember the grandfather, great-grandfather, but beyond Kish, you couldn't go in the case of Marchai. So that's the Raya according to this Mandiyama. Umar B'Shimon Levi. Well, now we're getting off a little bit on a tangent, but the reason why we're bringing this is because we're going to quote again this Pasuk Yisrael Ibanu B'nei Banu. Umar B'Shimon Levi L'chav Eretz Yisrael HaTsheovru, I'm sorry, yeah, HaTsheovdu Ba, Zayin Bati Dinam Avodizar. Eretz Yisrael was only Choruv, as we'll see in the Gemara, it doesn't really mean Choruv, it means the first expulsion, the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim, that took place in the years of Hoshea ben Ela. And although our Gemara refers to Batei Dinim, Rashi says we're not really talking about Batei Dinim, we're really talking about Malchus of the Malchei Yisrael. And therefore the art scroll in fact writes not rabbinical courts, but royal courts. Seven royal courts of the Malchi Yisrael unfortunately served the Avodah Zarah. In the seventh of those seven courts, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, enough, and he threw out the Aseres HaShvatim. The Elohim, which are the seven royal courts? Number one, Yeravim ben Nevat. Number two, Basha ben Achia. Number three, Acha ben Omri. Number four, Yehu ben Nimshi. Number five, Pekah ben Romeo. Number six, Menachem ben Gadi. Hoshea ben Ela is number seven, and in Hoshea ben Ela's time, as we'll see in the Gemara, another couple of lines, that's when the Aseres HaShvatim were thrown out. Where do we find a remez to the seven doiras, seven malchus? Shehem, it says in the pasuk, Umlelo yeledes hashiva, nofcha nafsha, bo shimsha bi oid yoimam, bo yishev v'chafura. This is a pasuk in Yermia. The pasuk says Umlelo. Umlelo means that the mother, unfortunately, is devastated. She is a churban. Yeledes hashiva, the mother that gave birth to seven. Here we're defining seven to mean seven generations of the Malchus Yisrael. Nofcha nafsha, then its soul burst and left. Bo shimsha bo yoimam, the sun set in the middle of the day for these seven generations. Then unfortunately now it's choshech at 12 o'clock midday. Bo yishev v'chafura, and unfortunately it's shame and humiliation. Okay, so what does this tell us? It tells us that after seven generations, by the way, we use the term generations. Rashi says it really, it wasn't just seven generations, but we include in many of these seven both parents and children who were also kings of Malchus Beis David. However, because they were not as prominent, we kind of just throw them in. For instance, Rashi says that Omri was also king before Achav, but he was also a bad guy. But since Achav is the famous one, we don't bother writing Omri and then Achav ben Omri, we just include it as part of a package deal, Achav ben Omri. It actually gives other examples of those as well. So they're called part of each one of those royal courts. So after seven of these generations, or seven of these courts, boom, Kadosh Baruch Hu threw out the Aseres HaShvatim. Omer Vami, my krod, do I have a rye from a pasuk in the Chumash? Yo, 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 kisoled banim uvnei banim. Where does it say kisoled banim uvnei banim that we have over here, seven? Remember, we used that before for three. Kisoyled is one generation, Banim is two, Bnei Banim is three. How do we get seven? So there are two pshatim. You have the last toisis here in the Amid. If you look at the last toisis, Maikra, it says Kisoyled is Chador, right? Kisoyled, that's singular, one generation. Banim, children, Tredar, that's already plural, is two more. So that's one plus two is three. And then it says uvenei, before we get to bonim. Uvenei, bnei is also tredar, again two. And then it says bonim, another tredar. Hari, shivis, you have seven altogether. So in other words, you have kisolid bonim, uvenei van. Solid is singular, that's one. Bonim, bnei. Bonim, each one of those is plural. So each one is two. Three times two is six, plus one is seven. That's how Tosfos learns. The Masoreis HaShas has a different pshat. If you have at the top bays, he brings from the Yalkut. It says in the Pasuk, so the Bonim. Bonim is train is two. Ubnei Bonim is again two, is four. And then Venoishantem Ba'aretz, Vishchatem, Vasisim Pesel, Temunas Koil. Oh, Noishantem is one, Kishchatem is two, Asisim is three. Together with Bonim Ubnei Bonim, so you have four plus three, you have seven altogether. Okay, again a remez to seven generations of Malchus Yisrael that sinned in the Kodesh Baruch Hu throughout the Sarsa Shvat. Continuing the Gemara. Om L'Rav Kana L'Rav Asi L'Rav Sid Bei Boishe Ben Eila. It says Boishe, that was number seven. If you go back to the list, She Ben Eila was the last one. It says about him, Yasser Abayin Hashem. He was also a bad king. Rak Loikim Malchus Yisrael, but not as bad as his predecessors. Uksiv, and then it says, Olav Shalmaneser. Shalmaneser went and he was Megali, he took away, he exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. So, what was their kasha? The kasha was, Hashem ben Ela was nicer and better than the previous six generations. Why was he unfortunately punished that the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled in his generation? It should have happened in previous generations. He's better than his predecessors, not worse. What's going on? Omluis, I'll tell you very simple. Oisim Pardesios, Shahoishiv Yerovan Aladrach, and the word Pardesios means like Shomrim, security guards, that Yerovan set up on the roads, Kadesh Layali, Yisrael Regel, to prevent people to be Oile Regel by the Sholish Regalim. But Hosheh Ubitlan, Hosheh came, this Hosheh Ben Ela, and he said, no more security guards. Anybody and everybody that wants to go up to Yerushalayim is free to go, free to do so, and no more security guards. Azoyizov the Gemara. And if you recall, back at the end of Masechtas Tanis, the Gemara says that's one of the six reasons why Chamisha Usar B'Shvat, Chamisha Usar B'Av, Chamisha Usar B'Av is one of the great Yom Tov, Yom Tov Yisrael, Chamisha Usar B'Av. And one of the reasons that's given is because Hashem ben Elu was Mavatel the Pardesios of Yerovam ben Nevat. So that's he did a great thing. But the problem was, continues the Gemara, the Afal Bikinli, Oyu Yisrael the Regel. The Yidin, until now they had a teretz. You know why we weren't Oyu the Regel? We couldn't. Because the security guards blocked all of the borders. Anytime you want to go to Yerushalayim, you had to go and pass through those security guards and they wouldn't allow us to go. So we didn't go. But now that teretz was taken away because Hashem took away the security guard. He took away the roadblocks. Anybody was free to go to Yerushalayim, and they still didn't go up. Those years post Hosheh ben Elis freeing up the drachm that everybody can go, and nobody went. That's why I'm punishing Klai Yisrael. So basically, what the Gemara is saying is very, very simply: the sending away Klai Yisrael would be for their own individual sins. The first six of the seven generations of bad kings, Klai Yisrael was not punishable. They weren't bad. The ones who were bad were the kings, and the kings got punished, not Klal Yisrael. But now in the seventh generation, by Yosheb and Eilad, everybody was free to go, and nobody went. Now they're being punished, and they're being sent, Pashabi, they're being sent out into exile. New Shtikl. This, it's related, but unrelated. We're no longer talking about the Aseres HaShvatim, we're talking about the two remaining Shvatim. And as you recall, the two remaining Shvatim had two exiles. One was called the Golas Yehoyachin, or Golas Yechaniah, and the second one was Golas Tzidkiyo. And the difference in time was 11 years later. First, Nebuchadnezzar had Yechaniah, and we have this, in fact, in Megillas Esther. Hashem Haglam, Yerushalayim, in my Gerla, Hashem Haglasa, in Yechaniah Melech Yehuda. So that was Golas Yechaniah. 11 years later, the rest of Yidden Nebuch was sent away from Yerushalayim, and they went into Golas. So he says, Torah Shmarayim, what does it say in the Pasuk? Vayishkod Hashem al Hara. Rashi says, Vayishkod here means Vayemaher. The Kodesh Baruch Hu speeded up the bad events. Vayivyah Aleinu, and he brought it upon us. Kitzadik Hashem Alekeinu, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a tzadik, and he's doing tzedakah with Klal Yisrael. Freitimar Mishim, Kitzadik Hashem Alekeinu, Vayishkod Hashem al Hara, Vayivyah Aleinu. That doesn't make sense. The fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings quickly the Ra, that's Midas Hadin. That's not Midas Harachamim. So how are we saying that Kodesh Baruch Hu brought the bad onto us, he sent us into Golus because he's a tzaddik? Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, is a tzaddik. But you wouldn't say that's a Midas Harachamim, but that's a Midas Hadin that he's acting quickly and sending us out. Says you what? I'll explain to you. Let's talk. Kodesh Baruch Hu in Israel, Shehigla Golus Sidkio Vadayin Golus Yichonya Kanyamis. Because the Golus Sidkio took place only 11 years after Golus Yichonya, the Golus Yichonya was still intact. Meaning that all of the great sages, Talmidei Chachamim, scholars that went into Golus the first time, the time of Yichonya, they were all still around to teach and to guide and to lead Klal Yisrael at the time of the second Golus of Sidkiyah. Tichsid Bey, the Golus of Yichonya, a Chorish v'amazgir olef, that the Chorish and Mazgir were 1,000. Now, Parsha Pshat, a Chorish is a craftsman. Craftsman is a person that works with wood and puts together tables as if you're going to IKEA to go and put together furniture. That's a Chorish. A Mazgir is a person in charge of locks, like the Lashon of Segira, Saga, to go and close. So a person who's a locksmith, he creates keys, he creates locks, and things of that nature. All of there are 1,000 of them. So Parsha Pshat means that at the times of the Golus Yechonya, there were numerous craftsmen and numerous locksmiths, and together there was a total of 1,000. However, the Gemara dashes the word Choresh as if it would say Cheresh, mute. Shebeshoa Shepoischen, when the Talmidei Chachamim from Golus Yechonya would say Adrasha, they would open their mouths, Naso HaKol Kecharoshen, everybody, or Kecherishen, which means everybody became like a mute. Nobody was able to raise their hand and ask a question because they saw, wow, what a Godel Hador this person is. He knows everything on his fingerprints, on his fingertips, I should say. If I ask a question, I'm going to look like a fool. He's quoting some Sofer and Rabbi Kiva Egan and a Tosis and a Raj and a Rith and a Rambam and a Shulchan Aruch and a Rambam and a Rambam and a Rambam. And I'm going to ask him a question. I'm going to look at... So everybody was mute in front of him. That shows their greatness in Torah. Mazger, Kimin Shesoygrin, Shuv Einan Poisrin. Rashi says Kimin Shesoygrin means if a Shaila comes to them and they don't know the answer and they close it up and say, Rabbi, you know, Teiku, we're going to have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, nobody is going to raise his hand and said, you know, maybe you can learn this pshat. Who are you, maybe? Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal says, there is no answer in the world. Well, I, little nothing, I think I have an answer. No. Kimish is going, when they say that the question is closed, it's closed. Shemaim points, and nobody opens it up again. The comment, how many great Talmidei Chacham we're talking about, is 11,000. So that was the Tzadik Hashem Alekeinu, that Hashem had already built a spiritual infrastructure for Golus Tzidkio, that when all the Yidden came, by the time of Tzidkio, we already had yeshivas and kolim and gedolim and Talmidei Chacham to guide and to teach, etc. So that was the tzedakah. Ula Omar Ula says they have a second shot. Sheikhtim Shtei Shonim Livinoi Shantim. This is a famous Rashi in Chumash. If you take the gematria of the word Vinoi Shantim, if you want to take it quickly, Vav is 6, Nun is 50, that's 56. Another Vav, that would be 6, is 62. Shin is 300, 362. Nun is 50, that's 412. Add Tuf, 400 plus 412 is 812. And then Mem is 40, is 852 altogether. And when did the Kodesh Baruch Hu take the Yidden and send them away into Golus? 850 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. So 2 years before the 852. That's the Hikdim Shtei Shanim. The reason why the Kodesh Baruch Hu made sure to take us out 2 years before 852, says the Gemara on the Amid Beis, what's the Omer of Achabar Yankiv, Shema Mino Mehir Demur Alma Tamdi Mei V'Chamshin V'Tartihu. What he's saying is, remember the Pasuk said before, Ki Soy Lebonim V'Nei Vonim, the noishantem baaretz v'ishchatem v'asisem pesel tmunas koil v'asisem arabi enisham l'kecha. What does it say in the pasuk? Avoid toyveidun maher. If you guys are going to sin, Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy all of you quickly. Unfortunately, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael sinned. We might have, Chas v'shalom, been an avoid toyveidun. We might have become a footnote in history, just like there are no Assyrians left that anybody knows, and nobody knows any of the ancient Egyptians or whatever. People would have had a footnote in history. There used to be a folk called the Jewish people. Chas v'shalom, there would be nobody left. Avoy toyveidun. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out 2 years before the 852 of Venoishantem. So we never got to the Avoy toyveidun, and that was the tzedakah that Hashem did. Now, how do we know it's 850? There's no Rashi here, but there's a Rashi in, I believe, Masechet Sanhedrin. In fact, if you look at the last Rashi here in the Likutei Rashi, if you have the article, there's a Likutei Rashi. He brings Ula Omar. What's the Cheshvan? Tzedakah. It's about 10 lines before the end. Ula Omar Tzedakah Shal Shkida. Hainu Hiktim Churban Shtei Shonim LeGimachid Menishantim. The Hainu, what's the Gimachid Menishantim? Tamni Mea Chamishim Etaratim 852. Vein Golus Oif Shemoyne Meas Bechamishim 850. How do I know? Shenichas Ula Ore from Shenichas Ore, from the time they came into Eretz Yisrael. Dechsev. It says, Vayhi Bishmoyne Meshon Baba Mea Shona. Vayhi, period. Now this is the beginning of the 6th capital of Melachim Aleph, and the pasuk continues on in the 480th year. Liyetzias Mitzrayim, Shlomo HaMelech opened up the Beis HaMikdash for business. So the Beis HaMikdash was finally built 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. And how long did the first Beis HaMikdash last? Bimei Abayis was Arba Meis V'Eser. So therefore, says Hari Ches Meis V'Tishim, you have 490 years. Abetzei Mehem deduct Mem Shana Shenishto B'Midbar. After all, we're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first 40 years, they weren't even Eretz Yisrael. They were in the Midbar. So you have to deduct 40. Hari Shemoyne Meis V'Chamishim. Ah, so therefore the Pasuk is telling us 850 years after Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exiled them. Continues the Rashi, the Moli HaYamamten Ad B'Nishamten. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited to 852, HaYimiskayim Mem Ki Ovoy Toyveidun Maher V'Hashmi Tashmidam Chas V'Sholem, and there would no longer be the Jewish people. That was the tzedakah, Kitzadik Hashem Olekeinu, that he was Memaher, that he took us out 2 years earlier before the 852, so that we would remain as a Yiddish folk for all the generations. Okay, so that's the top of the Amud Beis. Rav Acham Yankov says, you see from this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Ovei Tevedu Maher, I'm going to destroy 1, 2, 3 Shnel, immediately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of patience, he's an Erech HaPayim, and his immediately takes 852 years. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Now we talk about a get ma'usa. Get ma'usa means it's a forced get. Person was forced to give a get. Says our Mishnah, get ma'usa be Yisrael. If it was a bezdin that forced him to do it, it's kosher. We'll see in the Gemara, it's not that simple. But let's wait for the Gemara. If a bezdin told him you got to go and write, and they forced him, they gave him, Rashi says, b'choska. They gave him pech until he finally said, Koifen oisa chioimar, roitza ani. And he said, okay, we're writing out a get, we give a get, that's a kosher get. However, if goyim, in other words, it was a secular court, and they said, you got to go and give a get to your wife, and they gave him pech, possible, not a good get. However, if you have goyisha enforcers that are working on behalf of a Jewish bezdin, in other words, the bezdin paskin, Yankel, you have to give a get to your wife, and if not, you're going to get pech. Then they don't have to take Jewish shkotzim to give him pech. They can go and hire goyish shkotzim to go and give him pech. And that's what it says in the Mishnah. Listen to what the three rabbis said. The three rabbis said, you have to give a get, you're not listening. Another patch. You're not listening, another patch. Until he says, right, and then that's kosher. So the enforcers on behalf of the Jewish peasant don't have to be Jewish bachrim or Jewish yingalite. They can go and take Gentile shkotzim to go and do the dirty work, so to speak. Okay, so now the Gemara explains. I'm not going to mention what. Get the ma'usa b'Yisrael. If it's kiddin, it's kosher. Shaloi kedin pasul upaisel. Now, what does it mean, kedin or shaloi kedin? If it's ma'usa b'Yisrael, if a rabbinical court said you got to give a get, by definition, it's kedin. So Rashi says kedin has a very limited meaning. Look at the Rashi second and third line. Back in Masechtes Ksubas, we learned that certain husbands have to give a ksuba for their wives, such as a husband that refuses to live with his wife, he's denying her she'er or oina, depending how you understand the pshat in the pasuk. So he's denying her that. That's a biblical requirement. The Torah zuktuk, you have to go and give she'er ksus oina. So if he refuses up to 30 days, they try to work things out, but after 30 days, he has to give her a get. Or if he happens to be totally mo'uz, that he became chas v'shalom, a manuvel mukashchin, where the wife says, I can't possibly live with him. Mukashchin chulil rahim, it's contagious, I'm going to be sick. Anyway, there's certain cases where the husband has to give a get. Or he says, surah, there was an isur lav, where he was lamush l'koyin and she was a grusha, or a halal, or a zayin, or something. So he has to go and give her a get. And he refuses. He says, no, I love her, I don't want to give a get. Oh, since the Torah requires that he has to throw her out, if the Bezdin now paskin, that's din Torah kedin, kosher. If they enforce it and give him pech, it's a kosher get, no problem. However, shaloi kedin, if it doesn't fall within that category, he just is an obstinate bad guy, a rusha. And the Bezdin finally says, okay, you've been playing games, you made your wife into a igun already for 5 years, now we paskin, you have to give a get, still you cannot give pech. Shaloi kedin, the get is a posel get, upoisel, but nevertheless, as Rashi, it has a reach a get, and therefore this young lady will not be able to marry a koyin, because it's a reach a get. However, in a Gentile court, even if it's kedin, they're following din toira. In other words, they know that it's a koyin mit a grusha, or it's one of those, he refuses to go and live with her, and therefore it's kedin, nevertheless, posel. If you go to Archois, you go to the secular court, posel a get. Upoisel, nevertheless, it still has that reach a get. Even though this get is worthless, it still has a reach a get. On the other hand, shaloi kedin, if the secular court decided on its own, not based on psukim, not based on Jewish law, on their own, this guy's a bad guy, he has to go and give a certain amount for custody, and he loses all of his visitation rights, and blah, 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 and he has to give a get, and he refuses, and they give him pech. I feel a reach a get ain't by. Doesn't even have a reach a get, it's worthless, and a kohen could subsequently marry her if her husband, for instance, died, and she became an almana, a kohen could marry her, it's no reach a get. Now, the one wants to understand, what's pshat by the Ardik Chavim? What did we say by Ardik Chavim? If the reason why they forced him was kedin, because that's what the Torah requires. The get is posel, but nevertheless, upoisel, there's a reach a get. So, frankly, asuya means from the Lashon mu'usa. If they are authorized to go and give pech to enforce gittin, it's kashur inam l'iskasher. Then it should be just like the Yisrael, that kedin is kosher. So why do they say kedin is posel? Elamai, they don't have the authority. Ila b'nei asuya ninu, and then their gittin should be totally worthless. A get that is written because a goyisha court went and enforced it and gave pech. Why does that even the reach a get? It should be worthless. They're not authorized. Amr Misharshis. Misharshis says, I'll tell you. Dvar Torah get me'usa by b'dichavim is kosher. Get me'usa by goyim is kosher min ha'Torah. In other words, a secular court is just like a Jewish court if the reason they're following what it says in the Halakha Torah, that lemoshel it's asuraloi because it's a koyin with a chalola zoyna, or it's a yisrael with a mamzeres. Any case where there's an isralat, it cannot be talking about a case of an isakores because the kedushin is not even toifis. If the kedushin is not even toifis, then why are we talking about a gittin? There's no get because there was no kedushin in the first place. Since we're talking about a get, it means the kedushin was toifis. There was an isralav, okay, not like Rebbe Kiva, and now that we have an isralav, then what's the din? He has to divorce her. And the secular court said, you better go and divorce her, and they gave pech. So according to the Mishar Shemin HaDin, such a pech given by a Goyisha court is kosh. So Ma'atam Omer Pasol, why they say Pasol? Shalei Tehei Kol Achas V'Yachas V'Lechas V'Toi La'atzer V'Yayvi K'chovim U'Mefkas Atzer M'Yad Bala. Anytime that you have a woman who is not happy with her husband. She knows that she's going to go to a Jewish court. They're going to laugh her out of court. She said, oh, I'm going to go to my next door neighbor. He's one of these tall, schutzim, 6'2", 300-pound guys. You just look at him and you melt and shrivel in his presence. I will go and team up with him, and I'm going to have him go and give petch to my husband. And after all, a oivdei kachavim, if they go and give a get moose, it works. Now, it's true, it says in the Torah, when the Gemara is saying it's only when it's kedin. However, that leaves already an opening, ashtikl pesach, that a woman will say, ah, you told me goyim, they can also do get moose. And she's going to go and take a goy to go and force her husband to give her a get. So therefore we said, you know what? Anything done by goyim is worthless. Pray to Mariachi, if that's the case, shloi kedin, ki Yisrael, if you're telling me that shloi kedin, it doesn't even have a reich get, why? V'nehebi, the Bach adds a chof, v'nehebi kish shloi kedin, ki Yisrael, a mifsal nami lifsal. Rabbi Sharish is saying, min ha-din, the goyishe courts and the goyim have the exact same koyich in get ma'usa as Yisrael. So if it's exactly the same, okay, kedin, we're worried about this gzeira, shema, she's going to go to a goy to go and help her out. But Lamaisa, without this gzeira, they have the same din as Yisrael. So if that's the case, just like by Yisrael, we said that if Yisrael forces a person to give a get, shaloi kedin, it's a posel a get, upoisel, and there's a reach a get, why are we saying by oivdei kachavim, if it's shaloi kedin, there's no reach a get? It should have the same reach a get just like by Yisrael. Because after all, min ekra ikra din, their koyach of being ma'as is the same koyach as Yisrael. Says Yimei Lohadar HaMishar Shebedusi. That Rabbi Sharsha said is really an error, and we're going to defer that and deflect that. We're not going to follow Rabbi Sharsha. But rather, it's the other way around. That a goy and a goyish court have no authority whatsoever. It's a big, big zero. Aha. And that's the reason why we say by Kedin that it's totally possible get. Ah, you're going to ask me, then why is it possible upoisel? If they have absolutely no authority, how do they have a din of a reich a get? The time of my kedin, because kedin be kedin the Yisrael michlef. Because if you're going to go and say that the kedin by akum, there's no reich a get, then you might come to say that kedin by Yisrael is also no reich a get, because you're forced. So therefore, there could be potential confusion. And therefore we said, no, that by both of them, both the kedin of Yisrael and the kedin of an Akum, it has a reich get. By the way, by Yisrael, it's not only a reich get, it's even a kosher get. But both of them have a reich get to go and passel to a koy. However, shaloi kedin, if you're talking about the shaloi kedin by an Akum, the kedin the Yisrael, like Michlef, then we don't have to go and worry, because that's already what we would call a gzeira ligzeira, which means, without Rav Misharshia, we're saying that goyim have no power to make a get ma'usa at all. Sai kedin and sai shaloi kedin. However, by kedin we made a gzeira. If we're going to say by kedin that it doesn't pass al tzreach a get, then we're afraid by kedin by a Yisrael that also doesn't pass al tzreach a get. So why don't we say the same thing by shaloi kedin by a goy? Because really by a goy it's totally unauthorized. It's really nothing, zero, zero, zero. So you're saying the reason why shaloi kedin is because Otu Kedin. And then the Kedin by Goy is Otu Kedin of Yisrael. So it's like a Gzeira li Gzeira. It's already two steps removed. Gzeira, Gzeira li Amri. If you look at the Rashi, Shaloi Kedin, just look at the last four or five words of the Rashi. It's parallel to our Gemara. Gzeira li Gzeira li Gzrinan. That we're Goyzer Kedin, Otu Kedin, and say that this get of the Goyim, Pasel Reach get. Oh, that's a Gzeira Mishim Kedin of Yisrael. But to say shaloi kedin should also pasul, come on, that's already another step removed. Shaloi kedin otu kedin, and then kedin otu kedin of Yisrael, gzeira gzeira l'yamri. Okay, now we have a very simple Gemara. The Gemara tells
someone, yes. Someone told me, I guess in New York State they passed a law that you cannot, they won't grant the civil divorce if there's any impediment for the woman, for the spouse to get remarried, and that Ramosha Paskin, that was not considered Mahusa.
That was a hot potato when Ramosha was still alive. We're talking quite 30 or 35 years ago. I'm not sure exactly when Moshe passed away. And remember, at that time, there was the proposed legislation, because already at that time, unfortunately, we had enough bad guys that were not giving gittin to their wives, but were trying to extort their wives for heavy, heavy amounts of money. And again, get musa ba'akam doesn't work, right? It's asur, it's a puzzle to get. And the Bati Dinim couldn't force their way, because the Bati Dinim didn't have enough kayach. So they tried to put in legislation, like you're saying, that the Goyisha court, the secular court, would not grant a civil divorce unless you gave the Jewish divorce. And they built it in such a way that it would be more of a psychological forcing than a physical forcing. And the question was that a get me'usa or not? And that was a hot potato at that time. And I believe, as you say, that a Moshe Paskin, that it's okay. And therefore, the Aguda supported the legislation that was being proposed, which I believe was ultimately enacted. But the other Rabbanim, I think, had their doubts about it. But of course, since Rav Moshe said it's okay, then everybody nodded their heads and said, Rav Moshe looked as good, it's good. Anyway, unfortunately, even with that law, we still got plenty of pubs. So we continue on. Zukti Morvaita. Abai Achel Rav Yosef, the Yosef Vekom Ase Agiti. Abai and Rav Yosef, as we know, both lived in Bava, which is Chutz La'aretz. Here in Bava, we do not have the Yonim Mumchim, or the Yonim Smuchim, we have the Yonim Hedyoitais. And that's because in Eretz Yisrael they had a serious smicha from dayin to dayin and future dayanim, but in Chutz La'aretz we didn't have that same exalted framework of smicha. And that's why, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, the dayanim here in Chutz La'aretz, for instance, cannot be dan kizeilois v'chavolois, while the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael can. Rav Yosef was forcing the husband to go and give a get, and if he didn't, Rav Yosef called in the henchmen, the executioners, to give pesh. Said Abai, we're only hejoitzes. B'tanya, hayir b'tarfen oimer, on the side it says hayir meir oimer. Kamokisha ata moitzi agoirios. Agoirios, as Rashi means, asifois, which means gatherings of oivdechov. Even though they're paskening word for word like our Choshen Mishpat, like our Evan Ezer, you're not allowed to go to our Chois, the secular court, it says in the Pasuk. Rashi says Lefneim is referring to the 70 Zekanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Moshe Rabbeinu choose 70. That's where it says about Eldar and Medar, right, that there were 72 and that there were 6 Goyrolois for each one of the Shvatim. And the 70 said Zekanim, and 2 were blank, etc., etc. Anyway, but the Lefneim is referring to the 70 Zekanim. You have a mishpat, you got to bring it in front of them, and not in front of the Chavim. Now that's irrelevant to our sugya. What's relevant is Dover Ach Lefneim Balei Lefneim Hadjoitois. If you want justice to be dispensed, it has to be those that have the smicha of Eretz Yisrael. We are here in Chutz La'aretz, we don't have that right to go and do a get mu'usa. Amalei Rav Yosef said, "Anan shlichu sayuk of dinan." Even though we don't have inherent authority, however, we have vicarious, if you will, authority that the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael have said, "You dayanim in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to come and bring every case to us. We appoint you as our shluchim, and you can go ahead and be dan din toiris in Chutz La'aretz." Same time, even today, as we know, the Bati Dinim have cases all the time where you have a plaintiffs and defendants vis-a-vis lending money, buying, selling, any type of disputes, monetary disputes. How do the Bati Dinim, how are they able to go and adjudicate? They don't have smicha, but they have to do it based on the shlichusayu. So here too, the gittin that the Bati Dinim today are mesader, including a get ma'usa, that's the same thing shlichusayu kovdin. Why don't we allow our Bati Dinim here in Chutz La'aretz even to go and be dan a gazlan and go and say, you're a gazlan, then you got to go and pay kefil and chavolah, then you got to go and pay nezik tzar, ripa, shevis, and boishas, you know, etc. Why don't we allow them to go and assert jurisdiction over those cases? So tomorrow, ki avdin shlichusayim b'milta d'shchicha, things that happen on an ongoing, frequent basis. People are constantly lending money, people are constantly buying, selling. And unfortunately, you have a certain percentage of people that are giving gittin to their wives. Not the craziness that we have today, but unfortunately gittin is gittin, and you know, people have been doing this since the institution of the Torah. People are giving gittin. So that being the case, milzu de shchicha avdin shlichusayu. Milzu le shchicha avdin shlichusayu. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that a chutzlars bezin could in fact go and assert itself with a get ma'usa, and it would be kosher. The question is, what about batidinim today? After all, who's the shlichusayu that we are saying? Even today, l'chari, there are no mumchen in Eretz Yisrael because the institution of smicha fell away after all the Yidin went into Golus. So there's no smicha today of the Rabbanim today from, you know, all the way going back to pre-Ezra's times. So the second to last Toysis says, at the very end of the Toysis, Yeshloimar, the shlichus de kamoi of dinan. Even a bezin today, we cannot say that they are acting on behalf of the Rabbanut HaReshit or on behalf of the Bezin Tzedek in Yerushalayim, that we're doing their shlichus on their behalf. No. But rather that we're doing the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu's Bezin, Chvayis Ravin, and you know, earlier Batei Dinim from Beis Hillel, or Batei Dinim that existed in the times of the Talmud and times of the Mishnah, we today, we're following their shlichus from yesteryear. And with this we conclude, and I wish everybody a wonderful day. Shkoyach. Thank you very much.